From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Here we are, the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Dugout Podcast, talking baseball, Yankee baseball, MLB stuff. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, the whole shebang, man, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all that stuff, man. All the archive shows, all the sports we talk, our squads, the leagues, and Yankees over the weekend, over the last week, winning two series. Now, let's be honest, I really wanted to sweep the Astros. I really wanted to sweep the Houston Astros. That day game got away from us. That was disappointing. I'm not going to say little disappointing, especially with Altuve, of all people, getting a home run to get the go-ahead home run. Cole pitched fantastic that day with the seven innings. But came back. We had back-to-back losses in that stretch because it got ugly late in the game on Friday versus the Nationals. But two walk-off hits, two game-winning hits for the Yankees, and things were looking real bleak. I thought the game on Saturday we stole. We literally stole that from the Nationals. But it gets a little interesting because 10-game road trip starting tomorrow in Tampa Bay, a team that we have feared, or I have feared. I don't know, a lot of Yankee fans still to this point still don't fear the Rays for whatever reason. I don't know what they're not watching. You got Tampa Bay, you got at Baltimore, you got at Texas, and a 10-game road trip. Yankees in second place, tied with the Rays as we speak. Last time we heard from Suzanne from Bleeding Yankee Blue, the Yankees were 5-10, last place. Climbed themselves out of the hole, whatever it was, early in the season. Second place, tied with the Rays. I wouldn't call it may be a must-win series for the Rays, man. I mean, versus the Rays, Suzanne. I hope all is well. Bleeding Yankee Blue, Susie Prof. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Steve?
I'm good, good. How you doing? Can you hear me? I want to know how you doing.
You know, I'm hanging in there. Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit more confident. I mean, there are some definite issues that we still got going on. I still look at it this way. Yeah, I would have loved it to have swept the Astros for sure, but it's about winning series. You know, that's always what Joe Girardi says. It's not about sweeping. It's about winning series, and I think that is really key for us. But I think, you know, there are some unfortunate detriments that we have to, deal with or deliberate on tonight, and those deficits and detriments to our team are the things that are keeping us from actually sweeping, if I'm honest. So I'm looking forward to kind of unpacking with that with you tonight, Steve.
Let's unpack it right now. What are your detriment and your issues with the Yankees preventing us from sweeping teams? Although I agree, it's always about winning series. I totally agree. So I don't want to get greedy. Got to take one step at a time. But what are these detriments and issues?
Right.
What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, Aaron Hicks.
Oh, goodness.
Aaron Hicks. I mean, what is he doing in the three hole? Why can't we figure out a better situation where maybe he's, like, not playing so much? Or we start to think about other outfielders that really could be playing out in the outfield at this point. Or other players that could be leveraged. I mean, I know Tyler Wade can play the outfield, but he can't hit either, so I don't even want to go there. But Aaron Hicks is getting paid a boatload of money to sit there and strike out, and I really don't know what it is. And, I mean, and then Mike Ford has got to be on his way out. He's probably out now because Luke Voit will be up for the Tampa series. And he was another one that was batting, like, what, 83? Like, you know, we just can't have those kinds of players in the lineup because they bring us down. They can't hit with runners in scoring position. They're letting by too many good pitches with Hicks. I mean, he's just – I don't know what it is, but he can't hit. And I don't even think he's that great out in the field. There were a couple plays over the weekend where he couldn't even see the ball. and he had to have, like, Judge or Gardner, like, kind of bail him out. Like, I'm sorry, you're getting paid a heck of a lot of dollars to be subpar in the outfield and center field, albeit. You know, it's funny because for a while there, we thought maybe, you know, Kyle Schwarber would have been a good fit for the Yankees, and I had written a piece about it. I mean, I don't know, probably like December, January, where I thought, you know what, maybe we'll pick him up. And then, of course, he hits tremendous home run over the weekend. And he's got a firearm of an arm. And, you know, could we have done some shifting where we could have picked up somebody like that? But, of course, we don't have the money. Because why? Because we're giving it all to Hicks, who can't hit. So, you know, my rant is long and lengthy when it comes to this guy. I just don't see anything worth talking about in a positive way with this guy. And he's costing us games. And you put him in the three hole where you got Giancarlo Stanton electric. I can't even believe I'm saying it. But I think some of the pressure that he felt in the three hole and in the four hole and even in the five hole has dissipated because he just gets up there, bats second, and just knocks in runs. So I think he doesn't feel the pressure perhaps, but I wouldn't move him for anything. I mean, leave him right there. Judge can bat third or fourth. Glaber's picking it up, so that's a positive. And at least he's hitting the ball, putting the ball in play and running hard. So that's good. But, like, it, you know, now Giancarlo will be back, thank God. I mean, he's a perfect six-hole guy or even five-hole guy. I mean, if you're going to keep Hicks in the lineup, you got to dump him down to eight at this point, seven or eight, because he's just not functional in that lineup. And again, I don't even think he's all that great in the field, quite frankly.
You ain't got an argument from me.
We've talked about this.
I mean, let me look at it like this. Is it because Aaron Judge didn't play yesterday? Is that the reason why Boone defaulted to Aaron Hicks at the three-hole? Because before that, Judge has been in the three-hole all week. I'm not saying I agree with the move. I'm just saying what the analytics of Boone and what they're looking at. Okay, well, Judge is not playing. We're going to put Frazier in right field. We'll just go ahead and run with Aaron Hicks because, I don't know, we just used him so many times in the three-hole and he has not produced, so let's try it again and see if it works. I mean, maybe that was the weak rationale. I don't know. But I agree with you, but I don't see Hicks in the three-hole starting in Tampa. I don't. I just think that was just a one-time deal because Judge was out. What's your thoughts on that?
I hope so. And I'll be honest with you, you may have seen me rant about this too. I don't know why you sit Aaron Judge on Mother's Day home at the stadium. What were you thinking? Like, that guy needs to be in the lineup on every Saturday and Sunday when you're bringing people, especially you're bringing people back to the ballpark to see him. We were actually supposed to go to that game. If I would have showed up in right field and Frazier was playing right field, you could imagine my face. I would have lost it.
Did you get a refund?
You know,
get a partial refund?
Right. I see some logistics and logic about it. I understand, and I know what's going to happen. Judge doesn't do well on the turf. He's a big guy. His knees doesn't do well. His oblique. I mean, he tends to get very achy playing on the hard turf. And I know he's going to play three games at least in Tampa Bay. And isn't Texas turf too? So he's got some turf that he's got to deal with, and that's going to be tough on him. But I would have put him, you know, I would have played him yesterday, and we wouldn't even really probably be having this conversation. But yeah, I mean, I guess Aaron Boone doesn't know where to put him. He's trying to shake it up to get it right. You know, he shook it up with Giancarlo Stanton, and look what happened. And he knew, right. You know, if you don't have Judge in the lineup. And you don't have Gio Urshela in the lineup, which was the case yesterday, then who do you put there? Glaber? Well, I think Glaber was batting cleanup, no? So I don't know
Glaber, yeah, he's
who you put
right.
there. Yeah. I mean, and you know, Glaber's Glaber. I mean, he can bat fourth, he can bat fifth, he can bat sixth. I mean, really, I think leaving him at fourth right now is probably a good thing. I don't know. Who bats third then? Mike Ford? No. Luke Voit, when he comes back, now you're talking somebody that probably will bat third or fourth, and then you can, you know, play
around. Yeah,
that's
what we saw, right.
But if, right, that's what will happen. But with Aaron, you know, Hicks just not producing, if I were him, I would either figure it out or be worried, because someone's got to come in there and play that position.
It's not even out of the realm. Not even out of the realm that somebody brought this up too. I can't remember where I heard it. I mean, why not even entertain putting Stanton back in left field and do some musical chairs out there and keep judging right?
Yeah.
Now if you don't want Hicks in center, that's fine, because you have options. You can go Gardner. You can go somebody else in center field. Maybe you could go with Frazier. I don't see that. Yeah, but definitely Gardner for sure. I mean, you have options. If they wanted to really go away from it altogether, because you know he hasn't been the greatest of fielders out defensively, and at bat he's picking up the joint. But it gets interesting, Susie Proud, because you know you're right. We won two series. I'd rather had the sweep, but hey, you're right. You win series, you keep it moving, and that's exactly what they did. But it gets interesting because I don't want to fall in the standings losing two out of three to Tampa, or even hopefully get two out of three out of them. But God forbid we don't get swept, you know, on this road trip. Well, not on the road trip, but on the start of the road trip in Tampa. I don't know. So it's weird because I'm watching all these other AL East teams have their, you know, success versus Tampa, where we struggle. I don't know, man. Is this casting? I don't know. We talk about this every series before we even played them. But before we get it, because let me save that part for later towards the end of the episode. We'll get to that with the road trip. But you brought up the point.
Yeah.
Me and Jimmy talked about it the last couple of weeks of standing at the number two hole. Give me your input, the mentality, just going to number two and just playing freely as he is, because this is like, man, like, thank God you're doing this, man. Like, where has this all been? I mean, just over this week alone, he's had the game-winning single versus the Nats, home runs versus the Astros, RBI go-ahead hits versus the Astros. He had the home run during the day game, the last game versus the Astros. And this is just in the week. He's been very productive, man. And then even the start of that series, the bomb home runs. What is the mentality of a guy of that caliber just going to number two? What does it do for his psyche?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it goes back to what I said earlier. I believe in my heart that, you know, when Giancarlo Stanton was brought here, he was brought here to produce home runs. And the first year he was here, he played something like 151 games. I mean, he played a lot of games. Aaron Judge was hurt. He played the field. He played a lot of games. He filled in, and he did his part. But I think that was very taxing on him and emotionally to carry this team. And I think the pressure is off him to be that plays and bat second, because he just has to really worry about knocking LeMahieu in, because LeMahieu, chances are his on-base percentage is awesome. Chances are he's getting on base, whether he's walking or he's getting a clutch hit. And then Stan just comes up and does his thing. I also like Stanton in that wider stance, which he has been using, which is good. That means to me that he's looser. And you know, he really has one of the best bat speeds in the game today. So, I mean, he can hit. So now he doesn't have the pressure. He's got other people that are hitting around him. He just has to get up there. He doesn't have the pressure of the field, and he doesn't have to worry about batting cleanup. So, Steve, the bottom line is the guy just gets up there and is, as a pure hitter, just hits. He doesn't have to worry about anything else. And it was interesting because I was saying, like, does he go down? I mean, because there's a special, like, mental, you know, sort of physique, if you will, that you must have in the dugout because you got to keep yourself warm. You got to be able to get up there. I mean, it could be an hour. It could be an hour before you get up again. You've got to keep warm. So I'm imagining he must go down. He must have somebody pitching to him downstairs and in the clubhouse and in the batting cage, and he stays warm. I'm imagining he stretches. I'm imagining he runs because he's going to have to in order to be – I mean, there's a special kind of person that's a DH, and that's what he is. Now, you brought up a good point, Steve. Can he play the field? I mean, technically, he can play left field. I haven't liked what I've seen of him playing left field. I mean, he was a National League player for several years, so he can certainly play the field. I mean, you brought up a good point, though. My son brought up the same point. He'd rather see Giancarlo Stanton play in left field at this point and move Gardner to center and sit Hicks because he's just not helpful at this point. And you gave up Talkman, who's lighting up in San Francisco, by the way. And we don't even have him.
How do you feel about that?
I hate that trade. I hate that trade.
Yeah. Please expound on that, because I thought about you when it happened. That was back, you know, a few weeks back, but I was like, damn, I wonder. I didn't see anything from you on Twitter about that, but definitely.
Oh, I wrote a piece about it last week, right when it happened, and I tweeted about it. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Steve, that was a terrible. I have no idea why we did that. I really don't. For a subpar pitcher. Really? That guy was a hard worker, and he would have been better in the field at this point. At least I feel like he would have been producing more than Hicks if you gave the guy more reps. See, I always felt that Talkman got a bad rap because he didn't get enough reps. And so he was expected to produce, you know, with no real playing time. And that's a shame because when you bring a guy like that up, like a Wade, a Ham, a Mike Ford, they're basically sitting the bench. I mean, they're the backup to the backup sometimes. Steve, this is going to be very bad, but I'm going to have to take this phone call because it's my daughter going to the military. So I'm going to have to take this.
Okay.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Phil, for a second.
I got this. So shout out to Susie Proud as she takes her call from her daughter. So the Talkman trade, and then that was kind of a mind scratcher for myself because of the logjam and the outfield. I think that was part of the Yankee rationale. But I agree. I didn't think he got the enough reps. I didn't think he got enough at-bats, constant at-bats for him to – have a say in the lineup. And it's just one of those situations with this current roster. It's so many capable players, but it's not enough roster spots. But at the same time, some guys have gotten more opportunities than others, where Talkman just didn't have the chance to display that. And to her point, with Talkman going out there to San Francisco and kind of doing his thing thus far, you know, it kind of sucks because you have a lot of capable – this Yankee lineup and this depth could be really good if you utilize it right. And I think the Yankees were just trying to make a trade, just give him an opportunity. They bring back a guy just not as great, you know, as far as adding on to the pen, but it wasn't as a great quality arm that we could actually have. Now, going back to the Stanton point, I would like to echo this as far as Giancarlo Stanton. And for a short period of time, it is really refreshing to see him produce like that and happy for him of all the flack he's gotten, even for me. I got to be real. I was really hard on him last year. But just to see that, and I don't know why that happens. I just really don't understand it. Like whether you go from 4-2, 3-2, whatever in the lineup. Does the approach really necessarily change? Yeah, maybe it does. Susie Pro, what's going on? I was just echoing the thoughts on Talkman and Stan. I was just saying, like, it's really crazy how things could change from going from 4-2 in the lineup and how it just clicks. I don't know. It's just weird. But as far as your Talkman point, yeah, it's one of those things, like, so many opportunities There's so many players we have, and just not enough opportunities for everyone. I just think we could have did a little bit better with that. I just think that's what it was. And I hate to see him go because I'm a fan of him as you are.
Yeah, no, and I wish him well, and he's doing well. I mean, I know San Francisco picked him up because Yastrzemski was actually having some, not injuries, but he was having some aches and pains, and they wanted to have somebody that would rotate off. I mean, and San Francisco is on fire right now overall. So it was a great move for Tauchman, and he's playing. But to your point, I mean, I just don't know why that happened and why we would do that. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I know that we always, yeah, I actually wrote about it last Wednesday. I'm just looking through what I had said. And, you know, I mean, Wandy Peralta, okay, he's subpar. I don't even know what he's going to do for us. And they brought Tyler Wade up, which I like Tyler Wade. I wish he would learn how to hit the ball because he could really be lethal as a player if he could hit because he can run. I think defensively he gives us an advantage, but he cannot hit the ball. So, you know, now we're down one, in my mind, we're down one in the outfield because Tauchman's not there. And to your point, we may need to actually play the field from time to time, unless we're going to bring in another bat, you know, outfielder.
And then to your point, even circling back as far as staying, keeping warm, I mean, that's one way to keep him acclimated is keep him in the field of play.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily say we can't have him in the lineup. You know, I'm not in the lineup, but in the outfield. So that you can mix it up, and you could always substitute him out through 6-7 innings. You can put somebody out there for defensive purposes if things get tight. The whole point is just keep him comfortable and keep him – whatever is keeping him engaged is keeping him engaged. But before – hold on. Before we get to Gleyber Torres, because I think we have some good things to say about him over the weekend. Chandler, what's up, man? Bring on Chandler to the discussion. As a matter of fact, Chandler, let me get your thoughts, man, you know, versus Houston, versus Washington over the weekend. Got a 10-game road trip. But we were just talking about the production of Stanton in the number two hole, losing Tauchman, but also Aaron Hicks, I don't know, going back to number three after Judge sat out. What's your thoughts on all this over the last week versus the Houston Astros, the Washington Nationals, and then where you see how we're playing this one, man?
Well, I mean, the pitching has been carrying them. Hitting was, you know, going to eventually come. You know how I feel. I don't think Tauchman's a loss at all, honestly. You know that I've always felt that they – Stan should have been playing the outfield from the day he got here. I think that's a large part of why he stayed injured, because the games he missed when he was in Miami, he got hit in the face. He was never having a lot of leg muscle pulls. But a guy standing around for 4 hours at a time, the guy tends to stiffen up. So I always thought he should have been playing the outfield. Tauchman to me is not a loss. I like Peralta. I've always liked him. But, you know, and you know I'm not a fan of Aaron Hicks. I mean, he signed that contract while the anesthesiologist was counting back from 100. And they let him sign the contract. So I think Aaron Hicks should be dropped down in the order. I don't think Aaron Hicks should be playing, quite honestly. If you watch him play, he plays a lazy game now. Aaron, he looks lazy. He looks out of shape. There's balls that he should get to in the outfield he don't get to. I'm sorry, he's pulling up on everything. When last time you seen him actually dive for anything? That was that Minnesota Twins game, what was that, 2-3 years ago now? Last time I seen him dive for anything in the outfield. So – to me, you know, his whole thing now is he's home run or bust, looks like everybody else, and that's a problem. But, I mean, this team is they've had a good stretch. Stanton has figured out how to keep himself, you know, loose and like you said, engaged in the game. Finally, I think the change in his workout routine has helped a lot. I'm still don't like the amount of slander he gets compared to other guys in that roster, namely Aaron Judge, who's hurt just as much as Stanton is, but whatever. But they're on a good stretch right now. But for me, the benchmark for me is Tampa Bay. What are you going to do against Tampa when they're not giving you home runs? Are you still going to be going to right field? Are you still going to be hitting the way you're supposed to hit, which is to take what the pitcher is giving you, the launch angle nonsense? Because until they can beat Tampa Bay just in a series, okay, then I'll believe that you're a legitimate World Series contender. But if you can't beat Tampa Bay in a series, you're not getting to the World Series.
I can't have said it any better. Jimmy, let's get Jimmy on and go back to Suzanne. Jimmy, what is your thoughts versus Houston versus Washington? Your thoughts on Stanton's production, and then we go back to Susie probably get some thoughts on Torres.
I like the way we're stepping up, you know, especially against Washington, you know, because the Nationals are not an easy team by no means. So I think it's a good step up in competition, but again, you know, this is going to be the big test this week, you know, going up against Tampa. We got to take two out of three at least in this series, you know. And as far as Torres goes, I really liked Labor getting it together yesterday, you know, with that big home run to get us in the game. That was really nice. So we'll see how it goes, Steve. There's gonna be a benchmark this week. If we could take at least two out of three from Tampa, I think we're in pretty good shape. But any less than that, there's still concerns there.
Yeah, hey, Susie Prof, you heard Chandler's thoughts and Jimmy's thoughts. I think we're all in agreement when it comes to Tampa, because since that Tampa series, you know, we lost the series, the very next one versus Toronto, but then everything else was Cleveland, Baltimore, the two games versus Atlanta, three out of four versus Cleveland, Baltimore. These teams we know we could beat, but there's something psychological with the Rays right now over the last couple of seasons, man. And it's like Chandler's point. When you're not hitting home runs, then what? What's your thoughts, Susie Prof? And then anything else you'd like to add? And also your thoughts on Torres, too, because I think let's see if you can get going.
Yeah, yeah. So I do think there's a mental block when it comes to Tampa. I don't know what it is. They're not even that good of a team. They're a scrappy team. And we get outplayed all the time. And I don't know. It's like we freeze. It's like we have like some sort of Tampa Bay hex on us, and we just can't have that. We've got to get out of our own heads when it comes to Tampa. We have to go there, and it's like it's the same. It's like, you know, 51st dates. It's the same thing every single time, and I don't know what it is. But, you know, first it's right. I mean, think about it. It's like the trap. You know, oh, it's the trap. No, it's not just the trap. It's Yankee Stadium too. You know, it doesn't matter. Oh, you know, it's the pitching. Well, you know what? Some of the toughest pitchers that we faced aren't even on the team anymore. So I don't really know what it is. It's just, you know, they hit us. They hit our pitchers every single time. Kiermaier, all of them. They like just put us into positions that we can't get back into the game, and we've got to get out of our own heads when it comes to that. Now, Gleyber Torres. Gleyber came to life. Thank God. He hit his first home run of the season this weekend. He clutch, you know, hitting, putting the ball in play, hustling. He's been really working on his finesse at short. And with the shift, I mean, it's like, you know, he's also playing a little bit of second in some ways. So he's starting to be a lot more comfortable in the position. I'm thinking that he's taking a lot of reps out in the field, and he's been really working on it. And, you know, I'm honestly really glad, because at the beginning of the season, he was turning into a Sanchez for me, and I was getting really frustrated that he wasn't able to execute routine ground balls. And you heard me say this before. If you can't execute in a consistent manner routine ground balls, routine double plays, you're giving away runs. You're just not going to win games. But now that I feel like, you know, he's kind of calming down and he's locked in, we've got some really good defensive, obviously third base, when Urshela is back in the lineup. DJ LeMahieu is solid. You know, I mean, unfortunately, Odor got hurt the way he did, but he's locked in. I mean, he makes every single play, you know, almost right field. So I feel like, you know, we're locked, and maybe we could actually go to the Trop knowing that we're locked and get out of our own heads and actually win the series. Again, we don't need to sweep, but we certainly can't afford to get swept. And it would be great if we could win the series and then, you know, move on to, you know, Baltimore and then move on to Texas and just, you know, just pick up some really key wins and keep climbing towards the top of the AL East.
And let's go to Chandler. Chandler, as far as winning the series, you know, Montgomery should be pitching on Tuesday, right? And then Cole on Wednesday. And I hate the fact that Cole's been getting some of these no decisions. How you feel as far as Montgomery setting in the tone? What about Gleyber Torres getting going? What about keeping Stanton locked in? Like, what are these other keys that we need? You know, even DJ LeMay, who's starting to hit, and that was never anybody's, you know, concern. I think it was just rust at the start of the season. He's just going to get going. But to win versus this Tampa Bay Rays team, it seems like other teams within the division has kind of had some sort of success versus them, except for us. I really don't understand this. What's your thoughts as far as the guys getting going versus Tampa? We'll go back to Jimmy after that.
Well, because these other teams have figured out what Tampa does. What Tampa's biggest thing with all their pitchers has always been the changeup. They taught the changeup. So if you go back even to David Price, to Chris Archer, Archer when he was there, you go all the way back. In a count that normally would be a what they call it now a high leverage pitch, but basically when you an action pitch, Tampa Bay throws a changeup. They don't throw a fastball; they throw a changeup. So you're sitting there, you get it for a fastball, they're throwing you a changeup. You look like a fool. Now you're all betwixt and between, and now they bang you with a fastball. They've been doing that to the Yankees for years, and it's though no one seems to notice it. Look at it every time, a 3-2 count, 2-2 count, 2-1 count. When they need a strike, they go change up. Not fastball. They go change up. Other teams have adjusted to this. The Yankees haven't because of whatever reason with their hitting philosophy, they haven't adjusted. I'm not actually a fan of Gleyber Torres getting that home run. I'm sick of hearing about him in home runs. Okay, first of all, he's not a home run hitter. He's a gap hitter with power. He shouldn't be looking to hit home runs. Spray chart has changed so much. His spray chart, Sanchez's spray chart, Judge's spray chart, Voigt's spray chart. Look at their spray charts when they first came up. Everything was predominantly to the right side of the field. Look at their spray charts now. Everybody's trying to pull. Everybody's trying to back leg. Torres is still trying to back leg every damn thing until he gets to two strikes. Well, you know what? Sometimes you may not get the two strikes if you're back legging it and you pop it up on the first pitch. So I'm not actually happy he got a home run. I'm happy about the dunkers, but I'm not happy about the home run because I don't want him hitting home runs. I don't. But the bottom line is they have to be able to understand what Tampa is doing. Tampa Bay, when they need a strike, their pitching staff, their pitching philosophy, and if you can go back all through the years, and it's a consistent theme with their pitchers, they will go off speed. They will not throw you a fastball when everybody else is going to throw you a fastball. So adjust to it. Don't look the back legged. Don't look the launch angle. Just put it in play. Put it in play. You know, and it's irritating and frustrating because you can sit there and as you're going along in the count, you know when that you know a changeup's coming. If I know a changeup was coming, how did they not? How did they not? So The bottom line is they're going to have to understand what Tampa is doing. Okay? Stop worrying about the look, see, what CC did a couple of years ago was great. None of these guys are built for that. None of these guys are built like that. So stop trying to be fake tough guys. Stop worrying about who got hit. Go out and play baseball, situational hitting, and play some good defense. Mike, if Ford is in the field, I want him to stop trying to get every damn ball. Okay, yes, I know you're trying to stay on the roster, dude, but you know what? You screwed up in that game with Kluber the other day. Okay, if he plays that ball properly, that run never scores. So they just have to play fundamentally sound baseball, and I don't know if they can, honestly. I don't know if they can.
It'll be a test. Jimmy, any additional thoughts? Upcoming series, anything we have not, or you have not heard as far as up in, you know, since this last week versus Houston versus Washington. It's been a nice, you know, pattern of winning series since the Toronto, the game, the series in Toronto, or not in Toronto, but in Tampa area versus Toronto earlier in the year. So what additional thoughts you have? Anything on Taillon? Anything else you like to, on Montgomery? The bullpen. What about Herman, who's pitched versus Houston and Washington? He's kind of gave you 5-6 innings, give you about 6 strikeouts in each game. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, Herman, I'll say he really surprised me yesterday. I mean, with the way that he came back, especially with his awful start against, against Houston. You know, when he like imploded. I mean, except for that one mistake he made early in the game, late in the game, he really, this was Herman's best game for me. Like he really showed he's ready to pitch, and he really looked calm and cool out there. As far as the series goes, I think it's going to be a good test for Montgomery to see if he can keep his good streak going. Because I mean, he looked really, really good his last start as far as strikeouts go. You know, if we can win that first game at Montgomery, I think we're in pretty good shape. Garrett Cole, I'm not really worried about. We just have to get him run support. That's the only thing. And I say if we play our best baseball that we're capable of playing, I think we could easily take two out of three at least, and two out of three wouldn't be that bad in this situation because Tampa is a really tough team, so we got to play them tough, and I think if we do that we got a good chance to win and keep on climbing, man.
Right on. And Susie, probably because of this 10-game road trip, and I saw a fun stat earlier today, and I said, man, the Yankees starting pitching versus opponents with runners in scoring position, they are the best in baseball right now as far as opponents, 14 out of 231. So the Yankees, in critical situations versus teams with runners in scoring position, keeping runs off the board when they can. I mean, sometimes it gets away like the National game on Friday, but overall, they've kind of done their job. They just got to put together wins. It's all got to come together. That's what it is. What are you expecting out of Luke Voit when his return? You know, put Mike Ford on the bench, or you don't have to put DJ LeMahieu at first as much. Like, how do you want to go about that, getting him back into the swing of things?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Ford's going to have a spot in the roster. I mean, Voit's going to come back, and then to your point, later innings, you move DJ LeMahieu over, if bring in Tyler Wade for defensive replacement. And, I think Mike Ford just played himself right out of the lineup, I mean, quite frankly, and out of that clubhouse. I think Luke Voit, obviously he brings with him a lot of passion. And, coming off of a really great 2020, I hope he is going to play well and play healthy, which, I mean, he put himself in this position just, you know, trying to play a little bit too hard and not, such great situation during, I don't know if he was trying to prove himself. That's another one that gets in his head during spring training. I mean, he didn't have to slide so hard and really physically put himself in harm's way. And I wrote a piece about it earlier in the spring about that. He's like the antithesis of an Aaron Hicks, to Chandler's point. I mean, he hasn't dove for a ball in years. So he's literally the antithesis of Hicks. I do want to say something about Gleyber Torres. I'm not saying Gleyber Torres is a home run hitter. I think he put a monkey on his back because he wasn't hitting a home run. And I think now that he has gotten a home run under his belt, I think he's going to be a lot more productive. See, you know, baseball is mental, just like any other sport. When you get in your own head, and when you do that, you know, you make bad decisions at the plate. You make too quick a decision. Your hand-eye coordinating, you know, kind of goes off because you're not focusing. And so I think him getting that home run, I don't need him to hit home runs either. I need him to hit with runners in scoring position, which kind of goes back to what you said, Steve. You know, if you know, Yankees are behind, our pitching tends to step up, which is terrific. And they have bailed us out a lot this season. Now that things are clicking with Taillon and with, you know, Kluber, we're seeing, the old Kluber come back. They're lethal, and we are in a really good place. I think if we have the best shot as ever right now to beat Tampa, because of everything kind of is clicking all at the right time right now. Gleyber Torres, more confidence, starting pitching, finding themselves. I just think, Boyd coming back. Gio Urshela coming back into the lineup after a couple of IL days. I think we're the best team on the field to play against the Tampa Bay Rays, and I can't say that that's been the case last year and even the beginning of this year.
One more point before we go back to Chandler. Let me ask you this: as far as the return of Miguel Andujar, a guy I really liked. His rookie campaign, he was kind of over the weekend, 0-for-9 at the plate. And you were just talking about mental things. You know, baseball is all mental, and him trying to fight for playing time, getting at bats. And you could tell that Aaron Boone is trying to get him some playing time, just to try to get him in the lineup, because it's almost the same situation we were just talking about with Tuchman. It's not a lot of you got a lot of good players who are capable, but not a lot of opportunities. What about the thoughts going through Miguel Andujar's head over the weekend, trying to get a hit and just trying to find some way to get some time, you know, finding his way back through these injuries? What's your thoughts on that, on Miguel Andujar? Then we go back to Chandler.
Can you hear me? Sorry. At the end of the day, Steve, I root for that guy. I root for Miguel Andujar because of everything you just said. You know, he was up for Rookie of the Year. He worked really hard. He wound up coming down with a tough injury and, a season-ending injury and Tommy John surgery and, all of that. And now he's trying to learn another position because he lost his position to Gio Urshela, who would have ever thought that would have even happened. I'd rather keep that guy in the lineup over Ford at this point if he's willing to be adaptable and adjustable. And to your point, he looks like he's going to get some reps out there and be able to hopefully come out of this. But it's mental. It's got to be mental with that guy. I mean, look at everything that's happened to him over the last couple of years right now. It's tough. I'd like to see him do well. And, I don't know if he can play another position. Can he fill in at second base? I mean, is he like an all-around infielder like a Wade? I really don't know. I haven't really seen him. I don't know that he can play the outfield. I know they were trying him out there for a while. I think if he can be adaptable, if he can get his bat swinging, get his bat speed up, get his, mental toughness up, I think he can be functional this year. So I hope he sticks around.
Yeah, I think, but also, let me double check. I think the Yankees may have put him back down the screen, but if that's the plan, to see if we could get him ways to get better at certain places so we could bring him back up, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's what I thought.
But
I think the plan the plan for later this year is to find ways to get him back, work him in the outfield, work him in the infield, or whatever. Be a big, all around utility guy. Because he lost his third base job to a guy in Gio Urshela who played a fantastic glove out there, and just not enough positions out there. Chandler, anything else from you, man? Anything else as far as players? Cold? Kluber? Anything, man? And then we go to Jimmy. We'll go around for final thoughts after that.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to imply that I thought that's what she was saying. I hate the fact that people keep talking about Glaber and home runs, and not because they're saying it, but because I think that the best thing that could have happened to him was it would have made him go back to his original approach by not hitting the home runs. But you know what? Miguel Andujar needs to be traded for his sake. He's playing for an organization that is not doing its best to allow him to succeed. Listen, he's better defensive third base than J.D. Davis. The Mets run J.D. Davis out there every day. He's better defensive in his position than Carlos Santana. Carlos Santana gets run. The Washington Nationals went to the World Series with ham-handed Daniel Murphy playing the field every day. Okay? The Yankees could put him in the field. This nonsense about, oh, he can't play defense is just nonsense. He's the best hitter in that organization. He's the best pure hitter they have. But you're telling me that they can find at bats for 4A player Tyler Wade, but you can't find at bats for Miguel Andujar. I'm never going to believe that. They've made a decision on him, and they're following through, as they've done a lot of times with a lot of other players. We've seen this play out before where they've made a decision on a player, and they don't give him enough opportunities. When he comes up, he's trying to hit 17-run home runs so that he can stay, knowing that he's not going to stay because he's not going to get to play enough. So I think the best thing for Miguel Andujar is to get traded so that he can have a good career. That's really what I want to happen for him. Not because I don't think he can play, not because I don't think he can help this team. I don't think he's ever going to get an opportunity. You know, for some reason, they're in love with Tyler Wade. I don't know why anybody would be in love with Tyler Wade. Defensively, he's not that great. He's really not. He's just not. He's a 4A player that you're trying, and not you, but you're trying to convince me is a major league player, and he's not. The thing, last thing I'll say is Jameson Taillon, keep in mind that this is who he is as a pitcher. He's a guy who throws a lot of balls. He's never going to go deep in games. The best we can hope for with Taillon is he'll get to the point where he's throwing seven innings. That's the best we can hope for. He's a really good pitcher. He has quality stuff. He has the stuff to be an ace, but he's probably best suited as a three, not even as a two, as a three, because he throws too many pitches. That's just who he is as a pitcher. And in this age of analytics and nonsense, he's never going to be a seven-inning guy, I don't believe, until he chooses to change. But I think he's going to be fine. I like the pitching. But for me, like I said, the biggest thing is, you know, what are we going to see from Voit? Is he going to come back and try to hit a 1,000-foot home run, or is he going to understand and how to navigate what his body is telling him to do? And then we'll see what happens in the field. The defense and base hits. Defense and base hits. We got to get that.
McKenna, before you go, I want you to give another final thoughts as well. But let me go back to your great point on Luke Voit, because that is a great point you made about him as far as what is his mindset. And Susie Paul, we talked about this in spring training, and we'll get your thoughts on this too when we get to you. Luke Voit was last year was the guy. He was the man offensively. Yeah, outside of DJ LeMahieu, of course. But Luke Voit, power-wise, was the Paul Bunyan of the squad. Does he look at it like now just to kind of he's trying to duplicate that mentally before the injury, or is it just more so, okay, I'm just trying to, hit the ball? Like, what is the pro? I really don't know what's going on in his head or what's his thing in his head based on what he did last year. He literally was the first baseman pinned in. He wasn't going to fight for a roster spot at first base. Then he gets hurt. Then now what? Well, what is going through his mind? Versus on his road trip too. What's your thoughts on that? Because I think that's a very good point about Voit.
That's a good question, because again, I go back to look at his spray charts when he first got to the Yankees. He was a guy who predominantly went the other way, and then when he got an opportunity to pull a pitch, he would. Last season, it looked as though he was all in on backlegging everything. And it worked out, although his average was trash. He hit a lot of home runs, and that's all well and good. But that's not – honestly, we don't need him to try to prove how far he can hit the ball. Everything, when you talk about him now, it's all about the home run, the home run, the home run, the home run. He can be a really good hitter while hitting home runs. So my hope is that he understands that and says, you know what, sometimes I can just hit a double. Sometimes I can just hit a base hit. Sometimes I can just hit the ball to the other side and move the runner along. But if he's still on this, I got to hit a home run kick, he's starting to turn into Mark Teixeira, and I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of the Mark Teixeira mindset where he brought me here to hit home runs. But we brought you here to drive in runs, buddy. I'm hoping that he's more into driving in runs in home runs, but I'm not sure.
All right. Shout out to Chance at C Knight 6857 on Twitter, man. Jimmy Kane Eagle, one, your final thoughts, and also anything you haven't said, feel free to bring to the table, and then we get the season prop and we'll wrap up.
You know, my final thoughts are easy. We just have to we gotta find a way to beat Tampa. You know, hopefully we can keep this good. Hopefully we can keep this good streak going. I mean, I'd love to see Torres get going and stuff like that. And as far as Luke Voit goes, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with him, because I mean, the home run that he hit in Scranton, you know, yesterday, really shows that he's ready. Because you know, I happen to follow Scranton and Somerset, you know, all that stuff. So when I saw what he did in Scranton yesterday, I'm like, this guy's ready. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they fit Luke Voit in, you know, seeing how he does. And as far as team as a whole, you know, I want to see us play good, solid baseball. I think it's something that we proved that we can do. We don't do it all the time, but we definitely have the tools to do it. And like I said, you know, for me, two out of three against Tampa would be great. You know, it would show that we're in the right direction. So let's keep it going, man, and go Yankees, baby.
Go Yankees. Shout out to Jimmy, man. Thank you, bro. Susie Pro, final thoughts. And, of course, Bleeding Yankee Blue, the whole shebang, articles coming down the pike. And we'll have a conversation during these Yankee games, man. I would love to see Chandler, Susie Prof, and the team of Bleeding Yankee Blue going back and forth during these games, man, hopefully in W's. But Susie Prof, final thought.
Yeah, I mean, I have some good feelings for Luke Voit this time around. I hope he plays a little bit more cautious. As I said, he plays like a bull in a china shop, and that has led to the injury that has kept him rehabbing all this time. So I really hope that, you know, I have good feeling about him. Jimmy, you're right. He had a really good game. He's been repping. He's been doing it right. I hope he comes to Tampa and plays well. I think we'll have to play him conservatively, which will mean, you know, defensive replacements and whatnot. But I'm feeling optimistic about Voit's contribution to this team, both mentally and physically. Again, it takes pressure off the other guys to do their job. I agree with Chandler. We can't worry about the home run. We need to worry about putting the ball in play with runners in scoring position. Small ball, I always feel, wins the game. You got to put the ball out there. You got to put the ball in play in order to even be competitive. I'm hopeful that our starting pitchers will do what they need to do the way they've been doing it. And, you know, it comes down to one thing, consistency, Steve. And if we can come there and consistently focus on, you know, these kinds of key pieces, runners in scoring position, throwing strikes, staying ahead of batters, we have a real chance to win. And that's what I'll be writing about. And sure, we'll be tossing it back and forth on Twitter and Instagram with some really good conversation while the game's going on. And to Jimmy's point, let's go Yankees. Let's do this. I think we are the best team to get on that field in a couple of years now. Right now, this is our moment to take on the race.
Right on. We'll be back next Monday. We'll be on the road trip at that point. We'll be in Texas at that new ballpark. Hopefully, I'm hoping for 7-3 minimum, but definitely 8-2 is where I would love to land on this road trip. 2 out of 3 would be a great start, and it really I don't want to sound like I sleep on any opponent, because you know, as far as the state of our rosters versus other rosters, but I'm glad that Tampa's at the front end of this trip and not the back end, because usually towards that back end of a trip, and you're flying all over the country, because literally you're flying from New York, St. Pete, or Tampa, St. Pete, back up to Baltimore, all the way across, halfway across the country to the Metroplex. That's a lot of traveling, where it could have been one, Baltimore, Tampa, Texas, but this is the way they did the schedule. Let's hope we get at least two out of three to start, and that would be on the right path for the start of a great road trip, and then play against these pesky Baltimore Orioles after that and talk about it after the game versus the Texas Rangers on next Monday night. Susie Prawl, Chandler, Jimmy, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Dugout Podcast here on the Bleed Blue Show. Sangre su, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.